Hello, farmers, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Harvest Season. My name is Rochelle.
And my name is Al.
And we're here today to talk about farming games.
Woo!
Yeah.
And burritos.
Are we talking about burritos?
I mean, are we not talking about burritos?
We have a very exciting episode for everybody today, right?
We do. Very exciting.
Y'all already know this routine, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We're going to cover some feedback. Mm-hmm. We're going to go over what we've been playing. We're going to hit everybody's favorite section, the news, since I guess a lot of people get their news from us, which I was not expecting. And then we're going to cover a game. Back to the exciting usual routine of let's cover a game. We're going to cover, should we tell them this week?
Yeah, why not?
I'm never going to let myself live that down. We're going to be covering a classic old school Harvest Moon game called Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
/ A Wonderful Life Special Edition. / Another Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. We got some A+ feedback since our last episode. We got some iTunes reviews, which is the only one I know of where you give reviews. If there's other ones, please email us and we'll talk about those too. So we have big thank yous to Dare Me Again and Karotha. Y'all are wonderful and we love you. Thank you so much for the reviews.
We read them all and we very much appreciate what you say.
They make me happy every single time. It's like I'm not screaming into the void at myself. So, and we got a couple of emails.
Yeah. Note that a couple. That's two. Two emails.
Two whole emails. I'm so excited. Our first email is from Dan, who says, "Hey guys, gender neutral, just so you know, a really great gender neutral plural is y'all. It may sound silly, but it's wonderful. It's you all. The apostrophe is in front of the A, so it's Y apostrophe all, not Y-A apostrophe L-L. I love this word. Basically just saying, thanks for your perspectives. You get the news from us. I feel a sudden pressure of like, oh, wait, people actually care about the news from us. I was not expecting that when I started this podcast. But yeah, thank you very much for your email. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. The news thing is a funny one, right? Because obviously we've been doing this podcast now for over 6 months. And I guess that entire time I've basically been kind of submerged in making sure that I'm aware of all the news that's happening. But I can see why most people aren't. Like the big ones you hear about because, like, you know, something happens with Stardew and every game's website covers it. But let's be honest, you know, nobody's covering the small weekly dev updates from Snackle.
Which is disappointing, but whatever.
We'll get there. We'll get there one day.
We'll get there. I'm rooting for you, Snacko. I'm so excited for Snacko. True facts. I guess I just didn't expect us to be a news source for other people. Not that I necessarily had expectations at all when we started this, but I'm not screaming into the void. I am doing a service for some people.
Thank you for your email, Dan.
Thank you very much. Feel free to email again. And then we also got an email from Grant talking about in the last episode when we talked about Steam Linux support.
Yeah, it was basically saying that the way that we were talking about it made it sound like we were blaming Valve specifically for the lack of games that support Linux on Steam, which is fair. I think that it may well have come across like that, and that is fair. And it is true that obviously, you know, Steam have done the work to actually make sure that Steam is on Linux, and that is, you know, a big thing in and of itself. And to be fair, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think most of Valve's games themselves are playable on Linux, I think.
That sounds about right. I could pull it up, but I'm not going to.
it sounds about right, yeah. We'll go with that then. If not all of them, a large number of them are. You know, they are at least, you know, eating their own dog food and saying, look, we actually, you know, we care enough not just to put it on and make some money from people who also decide to do it, but they took the time to actually port the games when realistically it probably didn't increase sales of their games at all, if at all, not very much, because you know, most people will probably be like us and still have the games, even if you can't play them on your Linux computer. It just makes it better.
Yeah. And I think because his point in particular was that usually whether or not something is Linux compatible rests more on like the game developer than on like the store itself, which is true. Steam did do work to get games more available on Linux and did a lot of work doing that, which I agree with 100%, and we probably should have mentioned. I think that probably where the confusion rests is a little bit, listening back to it, I think a little bit of my opinions on this matter got kind of jumbled together because I was tired and not good at thinking. where like my entire thing is like, as two very separate points, point A was that Steam does that, yes, but it took them 8 years to do that, like 7 or 8 years. Not saying that they didn't do anything and that they shouldn't be praised for working on trying to make those games available, which was really cool that they did that, but it took them a long time to do that. And the point being that Epic may not have that, but they also haven't had 8 years to do that, so I'm not necessarily super angry about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the separate point of when games are not available on Steam Linux, I think, which may be the bigger point where the confusion happened. Not saying that it is Steam's responsibility for games not being on Linux, but just when they aren't, it is distressing because of the sense of exclusivity of not being able to have access to something. And that was like a separate point, which I didn't intend to sound like I blamed Steam for that. But I think that just got a little jumbled. So you're right. Thank you for emailing about that so we could clarify that. I really appreciate it. Keep emailing us. Feel free to email anytime. Never apologize for your rants or your emails. If you ever feel like apologizing because you think you're sending too long of an email, I once sent in an email to a podcast I really liked that was about 5,000 words. So you literally can't do worse than me. And if you do, I'll be impressed. Never feel bad. Never apologize. Send me literally all of your thoughts.
Yeah. And as ranty as you may well be, you will never be as petty as the guy I heard of my job before I joined there, who after he left a company sent 3 pages of complaints to a developer in the company saying how dreadful a developer they are. So you'll never be as petty
that. So don't question yourself, don't apologize, just email us.
We want those opinions.
We do. Thank you so much for these emails. I think I've said this before, but it literally like makes my day 1,000 times better every time we get an email. I get so excited.
Yeah, and seriously, things like this email are important as well, because sometimes things will come across differently from what we expect, and sometimes we will need to clarify things, and so please let us know when you think that we've said something that is unfair, and sometimes we might have meant it and sometimes we won't have, and you know, we will get things wrong and we will, you know, say things that aren't quite worded correctly, because as has mentioned before, words are hard.
Call us in on our mistakes so that we can adjust and learn and do better.
Yeah,
because isn't that the goal of human life, to just eternally be striving to do a little bit better every day?
Yes, for some of us.
This is not philosophy with Rochelle. Okay, so Al,
yeah,
I have a question for you. What have you been playing recently?
Well, I've been playing quite a lot, but it's not kind of the games I would normally play. So I've been playing a little bit, and I stress a little bit, of Harvest Moon: A Wonderful Life. Like, very small amount. I really should have played this more with the fact that we were talking about this, but it's fine because Rochelle knows it more. I have been playing a lot of a game called Eggs Inc. Eggs Incorporated. Eggs Incorporated is a fantastic free-to-play mobile game where you have an egg farm, and it's one of these idle games where basically you're basically just button mashing to do specific things. And in this case, it's you press a button, and every time you press the button, you spawn an egg in your farm. And the idea is to get as many eggs as possible, and then as you spawn more eggs, they lay eggs which you sell to make money, and then you can upgrade your where you're storing the chickens and your transport, and you can pay for upgrades for, you know, the eggs to be worth more, and it escalates quite ridiculously. So the farm that I'm currently on, my eggs are worth 500 billion pounds just now. So I'm trying to get up to 250 octillion to get to the next farm. So it's quite ridiculous, and it doesn't require any skill whatsoever, but it's surprisingly fun to play.
Gotta love a good idle clicker.
Yeah, so I've spent a lot of time playing that one, and it's good fun. But the other thing, and I'm really excited to mention this, is that I have been playing Zombies Run.
What? Oh my god! Hold on. I'm just like almost choked on a blueberry. What? Tell me all about this.
Well, I just thought I'd try it out.
Yeah, how's it going? How far are you? Tell me everything. What are your thoughts?
Oh dear. I've literally done two missions, so I'm not very far in.
Okay, I know exactly how far in you are.
The reason that I've only done that is because I was trying to catch up on all my podcasts before I started it, because I was like, oh, don't want to fall behind on my podcasts. And then I ran a podcast, and then I realized how it works, and it works a lot cleverer than I expected.
No.
And oh, look, I can listen to podcasts at the same time.
So that's why.
For those who don't know, the way that it works is it's just a few short bursts in the time period that you say. So you say, like, I want to do a 30-minute workout, whatever. And then throughout that, there'll be, I think it's like six or seven, something like that, short, like 1 minute, maybe 2 minute clips, with, you know, occasional, like, oh, you've just picked this up, or there's a zombie chasing you, these sorts of things. So actually, the majority of the time doing it, you're not hearing story. Because I guess that would be way too much story. But it's quite clever how it's done. I quite like it, because I was always fascinated with how do they let you choose the length of your workout. That doesn't make any sense to me, but I guess it makes sense. Because they have like a minimum, I think the minimum's 20 minutes, something like that.
Depending on how you adjust your settings, yes. And it actually varies from mission to mission, because what it does is that rather than adjusting a sort of essentially the length of the story you're listening to, the story's the same. It's just set clips that are usually somewhere in the like 45 seconds to a minute and a half range. There are some really longer ones as you get on, occasionally, but not very often. I think the longest one I've seen is almost 5 minutes. But rather than adjusting those, because those are just set story, it just adjusts the time in between the clips.
Yeah.
When you're listening to podcasts.
Which, if I'd realized, I probably would have started this earlier.
Oh, no, Al. So here's my question for you.
Yeah.
You've done the first two missions, right?
Yes, I have.
First of all, are you doing zombie chases?
I didn't on the first one, but I did on the second one.
Cool.
That was stressful.
Yeah. I don't play with zombie chases anymore. Second of all, how do you feel about Sam?
Yeah, I think so far, I think everything you've said is about him is correct. He's I feel like he should be a lot more aware of what's happening based on clearly how much he sees, but he still seems so, what's the word you used to describe him again?
He's a little nerdy cinnamon roll.
A cinnamon roll, that's what it was, yes. I feel like he shouldn't really be based on what his job is. It doesn't really make any sense because, yeah, I don't know.
No, I understand. Okay, so here's some context. You're about 6 months into the zombie apocalypse at the start of this story, give or take. Sam is a cinnamon roll. You don't know a lot about Sam right now. He's a cinnamon roll, trust me. Keep me updated on your Sam feelings.
Okay.
So in a Slack I belong to for another podcast, I have gotten a number of people into this, and I just adore watching people's feelings about certain characters develop real time. It's like my favorite thing. Second question. How do you feel about Runner 8? Sarah Smith is her name.
Oh, something's going to happen there. Like, I feel like something bad's going to happen there. I don't trust her.
I'm so excited.
I obviously don't want to say too much on the podcast in case there's anyone listening who hasn't done it. And I'm only two episodes in, but there's still quite a lot. Like, you only meet her in the second mission, but I still feel like there's a lot you could spoil in that.
I think it's fair to talk about what happens in Mission 2. Spoilers for Zombies Run Mission 2, Season 1, Mission 2.
Yeah, okay, spoilers. I mean, I feel like look, if it was just a cough, they wouldn't have brought it up, right? It wouldn't, she wouldn't, she's clearly not just got a cough.
Well, a cough is scary in a zombie apocalypse. First a cough, then a rattle, then a moan.
Yeah, that's my point, right? I don't, like, not because they wouldn't have brought it up, but I feel like the story is specifically putting it there. It's foreshadowing, right? Like, it's obvious that that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I love how she was like, because they just mentioned that bit, the cough, then the rattle, then the moan. And then she's like, oh, and then she's like, I'm just going to turn off the radio now, and turns off the radio. And she says, it's just me and you. And I'm like, great. Just what I wanted. Just me and you. Lovely. So, I don't trust her.
I love this. I'm really interested to see how your opinions of these two characters in particular develop. So keep me updated.
I will. Don't you worry. I didn't want to say anything before the podcast because I needed your honest reaction to this.
You mean me, like, literally almost choking on a blueberry out of pure excitement? Yep. Yes. Thank you so much.
Could not have gone better.
I'm so excited. Please keep me updated.
Zombies Run Podcast. So, Rochelle, what have you been up to?
Well, let me tell you, I've been playing some Zombies Run. Unlike you, I am currently caught up with the ongoing Season 8. No spoilers, because I know I love getting spoilers. I know the Zombies Run fandom in particular is very, very picky about spoilers, which I can see why. So no spoilers. I'm just going to let you know there are a couple of characters in particular that when they are in danger, I become very anxious. I have been very anxious for all of Season 8. it's been real rough. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, dear.
I'm so excited about everything. I'm so excited. So I've been playing a lot of Zombies Run. What else have I been playing? I've been very mentally stressed out recently. So I've been playing a lot of, like, really easy, simple, relaxed games. Doing a lot of Crafting Mama. I started and finished the entirety of Picross S3 this past week, because that's a game I play when I'm super anxious and stressed out, because it's easy to turn your brain off and just count squares.
Yeah.
I've been playing some Hamtaro Ham Ham Heartbreak, which I'm super excited about. True story. This is one of my favorite video games of all time. It's so cute. It's a really old Game Boy Advance game. And when I went to NDK this past weekend, I actually, in the artist alley, someone was selling Hamtaro Ham Ham Heartbreak keychains. And I was, like, through the roof excited about it. So, like, I had to play some.
Oh, dear.
And I've been playing a little Doki Doki Literature Club. So that's been fun. So those are two entirely different categories of games, but that's what I've been playing.
Lots of farming games.
No farming games. True story. Okay, well, here's the thing. True story. So part of the reason I've been playing super easy games recently is because my brain has not been functioning very well. And I literally, maybe about halfway through this past week, was like, I really, really want to play a farming game. And I went and I got out, actually, Harvest Moon, Tale of Two Towns, because I was like, I kind of want to play that one. That was fun. There was dialogue and stuff at the beginning. And my brain was like, hey, Rochelle, those are words on the screen. And I was like, cool, brain. What do they say? And my brain was like, oh. So at the point at which I couldn't read dialogue, I decided I needed to play something else. So that's why I haven't been playing farming games. Maybe this next week.
Maybe.
We'll see.
I have no such excuse. I just, you know, life and job and kids and, you know, the usual.
You played more than me. So
that's what we've been playing.
Woo! I hope everyone enjoyed that. Mm. Are we ready for everyone's favorite news?
Everyone's favorite news?
Yeah. Not just anyone's mediocre news.
Oh, was that everyone's favorite, comma, news?
No, this is the favorite news anyone has ever heard about anything ever. So,
well, some of this may well be. You never know.
You never know. Let's talk about some of this. Who wants some news? I want some news. You want some news. We all want some news.
Yes.
First up, speaking of Harvest Moon games, We have Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, Merit News. There's going to be some new marriage candidates that we finally got to see, named Jennifer and Brandon. We know you're going to have 16 slots in your backpack. That's as many as an Animal Crossing.
Did it have 8 before, I believe? Was that?
I don't remember.
Well, all I'm going to say is Cher from Fogo sounded very excited that there were 2 sets of 8 in your backpack. So that makes me assume that there were 8 before. And as we all know, 16 is bigger than 8.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. Speaking of today's main topic, there's a character named Ruby in Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life, who appeared in the little comic on the website, so you might actually get to see Ruby in this game, which wouldn't be new. We'll talk about that later. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this game to come out. We've also got Garden Story, which is coming spring of 2020 and finally has a publisher now.
It does, and that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think up till now it was just kind of like vague, it's going to happen at some point. So spring 2020 is a much narrower window than at some point.
Mm-hmm. It's very cute. You play as like a little grape. Are you a little grape? It looks like a little grape. I'm choosing to believe you're a little grape.
I think it's a little grape, yeah.
This looks so cute. I'm very excited for this game.
I think it's been getting quite a lot of press as well. I've seen some large publications talking about it, so that's good.
Yeah, they're doing good. Yeah. I'm proud of them. We have a Stranded sales release information, October 2019, which is next month.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this in real time and not 35 years in the future, imagine if we're around for 35 years and someone's like, oh, this is a good podcast. I'll start from the beginning. And they hit this and then they're like, next month. Wow.
If you're listening to this in 20, 40, 50.
No one will be listening. The world will have ended.
If you're listening in 2054, then you probably can't play it because it's probably lost to the winds of time.
If you can, email us.
Yes, I will keep the email account running for the next 35 years just to prove a point.
Hey, you don't know. The world might not even end by then. There's a slim chance.
We will see.
So yeah, we'll soon be able to play Stranded Sails, which I think we've talked about a few times already.
We have, yeah. And that's coming to everything, basically. All of the systems.
Yeah. Do you want to do this next one? Because I know it's your favorite.
Sure. The Forager Combat update is in open beta, and the release is coming in a few weeks, so that's exciting. For those not aware of what updates are coming in the combat update, the main things are there's a new biome. So we talked about in our Forager episode, we talked about the 64 pieces of land you could buy, and they were in, I think it was 5 biomes. And so they spawn different enemies and different foraging things and stuff like that. So they're going to add a new one, which is called The Void. And this is interesting in that it's a procedurally generated endless world, which is exciting. It says you must defeat all enemies before the time runs out or you'll be teleported out. Defeating all the enemies in time will allow you to continue to the next level of the void. Each time you progress, enemies will become stronger and more diverse, but your rewards will increase as well. So, sounds like you can never complete the void, which is always fun. The other main things are there's an added hard mode, and there are improved menus and crafting. They look much nicer, and you might less accidentally craft things. And pets. Apparently.
Wait, pets?
Yeah, I have never seen anything about pets before this post, but apparently there are pets.
There are pets in Forager now?
There are apparently pets in Forager now. I mean, it doesn't really say much. It just says unlock your own personal pet through the new pet skill in the foraging branch. So there are pets.
Woo! Apparently. I love pets. We're going to talk about pets today.
Yeah.
We also got something I'm excited to play, Atomicrops. It's coming to early access tomorrow. Tomorrow, when you hear this.
On the 5th of September.
Which is the day after this comes out. In case you're listening in 35 years, it's not tomorrow. It's tomorrow 35 years ago.
The 5th of September 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a 50% sale on it for the first day.
In the Epic Game Store.
And that's all we have to say about that.
Please. We also have a Re-Legend out in Early Access now.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yep. So that if people can't remember, this was a Kickstarter one from 2 years ago, I think. And the alpha came out in February or so. We talked about that when that happened. So this is early access. So if you've looked at this and thought it looks interesting, you can get it now.
Mm-hmm.
On Steam.
On Steam. Are we just going to do this for the rest of forever?
I think we are.
Cool.
It's also on sale just now until Thursday.
So you have until tomorrow to get this 10% off.
Yeah. Look, if you're listening to this on the Wednesday, you've got multiple things that are on sale in the morning.
Yes.
So go buy some things.
And then, of course, we have, speaking of things that games are coming out on.
That, of course, nobody has any opinions about.
Here's one to throw you for a loop. Farming Simulator is coming on Google Stadia.
Woo! Two things mushed together that will be so popular together. I don't think there's much to say about that. We don't know whether it will cost or whether it will be one of the bundled ones.
No one knows.
But it's a launch title. So if you've been waiting for that Google Stadia to play your Farming Simulator, good news.
If you get this, email us. Tell us how you feel about Google Stadia. So that's the news.
Woo.
Woo. I hope y'all enjoyed that, since I know we are your main source of farming game news. Are you ready to talk about our exciting main topic for the day?
I am always ready to talk about an exciting farming game with you, Rochelle.
Aw, thank you. So we're going to dig back into the archives and play a really old game from 16 years ago today.
16 years ago.
Mm-hmm. A Wonderful Life was initially released on September 12th, 2003.
That is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life, which if you'll remember from a long time ago, this is the first farming game I ever played. So you played an extremely small quantity of this game recently, right?
Yeah, I feel like played is probably isn't the right word. So I spent ages like actually getting it set up because I considered buying the PS4 version and then I decided no. So I set up the game, GameCube, and it took me ages to get it set up. And then I started it up and let me tell you, the tutorial is very long.
Classic 2003 GameCube tutorial.
It's very long. And it was more like watching, you know, a short film than playing a game.
I was going to say an extended cutscene, but I think a short film is a much better description.
Yeah. So, yes, I played the tutorial and then life got in the way, so I didn't actually end up playing any of the game. But I got a good idea of the backstory and the graphics and the tutorial.
All right, so do you know enough about the backstory to be able to tell our poor listeners what the backstory is?
Well, I think you'll never guess what happens. Your dad dies and you...
What? A farming game that starts with somebody's related relative dying?
And leaves you a farm.
What?
And you move there to look after it. And you're met by... Is it your uncle or is it just some random guy?
Oh, it's just your dad's friend.
Just my dad's friend. Who then teaches you about what it is like to be a farmer. Yeah, did I get that about right?
Perfect. That's exactly what happens. I love this trope. I don't know why, but I think it's silly and I don't understand why all of the games start this way, but it's fine. I love it. Yeah, so your dad dies and you move into his farm at a... Forget-Me-Not Valley is the setting of this game. So here's the gimmick of this game. There's like a chapter system in this game. So first of all, your years are really short compared to other games. Usually you do 1 month as a season. That's normal, right? Spring, summer, winter, fall. But usually your months are somewhere in the 28 to 30 day range, depending on what they're going for. Either 4 straight weeks or they just do 30, 31, like in a real world month. In this game, each month is 10 days long.
That's real short. That's like a long week.
It's real short. 10 days long and 4 seasons means every year is 40 days long, which means every year is about as long as a month and a half in most other sim games. And then not only that, but it's not like you play forever. So there's chapters in this game. We're going to go through the chapters real quick, just so you kind of get the gist of this. Chapter 1 is titled The Beginning. It's a single year long. This is your first year playing the game. You get used to your farm, you start farming, and you have to pick a wife by the end of this year. You don't have a choice. Alice's like, what? You don't have a choice. We'll get there. At the end of this year, you move on to chapter 2, which is called Happy Birthday. In the main core game, for most of this we're going to talk through, we're going to be talking specifically about A Wonderful Life, which is the main game. And then there's a couple of offshoot games from this with some minor differences, and we'll talk about those later. So, in A Wonderful Life, this chapter is 2 years long. You have a toddler, you get a bigger house, some new people move into the town, some other things happen with characters. How spoilery do we want to get?
Look, I think it's a 16-year-old game.
Is it fair to spoil a 16-year-old game?
Right.
Okay, so it's a 16-year-old game. If you don't want spoilers,
pause the episode, go play it. You know, spend more time setting it up than you will playing it.
So, there's actually a character who dies. There's only 3 characters, I think, in all of Harvest Moon's Story of Seasons that ever die. And one of them is in this game, and it's really upsetting. Because it's just in between chapters, this really nice, sweet old lady named Nina just dies. Yeah. And she gets a grave, and her husband is sad and moves away from his house to a different house. And
wow.
And then you have a new family move into town. Chapter 3 is called Happy Harvesting. This one is 3 whole years long. That's like 120 days.
It's like one normal year in farming games, like not in real life. Obviously, that's not even half a year in real life.
Yeah. Again, your house gets bigger. The ruins get bigger. We'll cover what those are. Your child becomes a teenager. Look at this. This is interesting. All the little kids in the village and your little toddler kid, they're growing. It's almost like time is passing and people are aging. This is exciting, y'all. And then you finally have access to a very fun character called Da-chan, which we'll talk about. In chapter four, Happy Farming Life, 2 years long, you get yet another house and ruins upgrade. Your child is a teenager at this point, and all the little kids that were little kids when you first moved into the town are adults now. Chapter 5 is called The Journeying Chapter. This one is a mere 1 year long. The ruins get bigger, your child is older and has a crush on another villager. Nothing ever comes of that. Don't worry about that.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
And then chapter 6 is called The Twilight Chapter. It's another year long. Your child's an adult now and has a job, which you influence throughout your gameplay. All the other villages are older. Everyone's aged. And then the game ends. You're done. It's the end of the game. This game ends. You die at the end.
Now, okay, right. So presumably there's time between these chapters as well, right?
Yes. It's sort of implied that there's a couple of years of life that happen in between each chapter.
Okay. Because I was going to say, that's 10 years from beginning to end. How is my child an adult when it didn't exist at the beginning?
Yeah.
So there must be some time between them.
Yes. It is very much implied. And you very much see that, like, most of the characters, I will say, like, visibly age throughout this, like, not just the kids, but, like, the adults as well. And I think the main focus of this was to try and, like, give you a sense of, like, rather than just the endless monotony of how you just go and farm in most farm sims, I think their goal was to be, like, let's encompass an entire lifetime in this game and sort of, like, show you how things change over time. So there's a lot of emphasis on how the people change, the characters change, the town itself changes. Yeah, that was the whole thought.
Yeah, it's certainly a very interesting way. So, I mean, obviously I haven't played much of it, but I have read through some bits and stuff. And it does seem quite an interesting way to do things while still incorporating kind of farming mechanics into it. You're also getting shock horror, an actual sort of story, which has a beginning and a middle and an end.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess a beginning, 4 middles and an end. But yeah, no, it's an interesting way to do things. Are there other games that you've played that are like this, that have done this sort of thing, or is this the only one like this?
None that I can think of off the top of my head. Like, there are some that, like, make changes as time progresses, like, in that sense of, like, changes to the world or, like, characters who change a little bit here and there, but not nearly to this degree. This is very much like the gimmick of this game in particular. So yeah. In terms of like festivals, as I'm sure you can assume, there's not really a lot since there are 10-day months and 40-day years.
Look, I want 10 festivals a year, all right?
Too bad.
If there aren't at least 10 festivals, it's not a good farming game. That's what I say.
Unfortunately for you, then, this isn't a good farming game.
Oh, rats.
There are exactly four, one for each season. The first one is in spring, of course, New Year's Day on the 1st of spring. If you go to the mansion between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m., you get to see a little piano concert played by a character named Lumina. All of these festivals are basically just mini cutscenes. There's no participation or anything. And you're gonna find a theme here. In summer, any day between the 1st and the 7th on a sunny day, and the character Gustafa is outside of his little yurt house, you show up. And he's going to play a concert for you on his guitar. You and the town villagers. That's your summer festival. In fall, you have the Harvest Festival, which triggers if you go to the Blue Bar anytime between noon and 11 p.m. on the 5th of fall. And a bunch of people bring food and you cook some food and you have a feast. And then winter, 5th through 10th, is the Starry Festival on a clear night between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Again, you show up at Gustafa's house and he'll play a little guitar concert for you. These are all just cutscenes.
I mean, can we talk about the fact that the summer festival is for 70% of the summer? Like, that's what is this, Edinburgh? That's a niche joke that I guess some people might get. There's a festival on in Edinburgh for like the entirety of August.
So we've talked a little bit about some of these characters here. You want to talk about them some more?
I would love to, Rochelle. That would be exactly why we're doing this podcast.
So, as we've mentioned, the first character you meet is an old guy named Takakura. He's your dead dad's farming friend. He also lives on the farm with you. He has his own little house on the farm.
Yeah. That, I mean, obviously I've not played the game, but presumably, like, does he do anything on the farm? Because it seemed a bit weird that he was like, oh yeah, and that's my house. And I'm like, this is my farm, dude.
No. Well, he used to live on the farm and farm with your dad. Now he just kind of watches over you like a...
He's just freeloading now.
No, he does. Like, he delivers, like, your shipments to the city and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Like, okay. Yeah, that's basically his job now. So, like, you can ship things to the city or you can order, like, animals or stuff or tools from the city. And he's the person who goes back and forth and does all of that for you. He's essentially, like, your farm intern. It's fine. I hope he gets paid.
Look, he gets free board. Okay.
And in the farm that he helped build, like.
Yeah.
And then, let's do it this way. Let's talk about your marriage candidates. In A Wonderful Life, you get to play as a boy, and you can marry one of three girls in town. You have Celia, who's essentially like the classic like farm girl you can marry. You have Muffy, who's the classic mean girl, I guess. Mean girl referring to like the movie Mean Girls. Although she's very nice, if you get to know her, which not some people don't. And then you have Nami, who's your classic butch stereotype. In addition, in these specific games only, in A Wonderful Life Special Edition, which is only available on PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 4, you can marry Lumina, which I feel weird about. We'll talk about it in a minute. And then in Another Wonderful Life, which is the girl version, you can marry three of the guys because girls can't marry girls. So your marriage candidates then are Marlin, who's the quiet farm guy, and Rock, who is like mean girls, but he's a guy. And and Gustafa, who's the hippie character who lives in a yurt. So.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just looking at the images.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite a selection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also think I know why you think that Lumina's a bit awkward.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
And then I figure we might as well just note this here. Your child, because your child is very much a character in this. You watch your child grow up. You interact with him, you give him particular toys, you show him to particular people, you do particular activities with him, and you can actually influence his skills and like preferences throughout his life. and that will impact his future career when he becomes an adult. He can become a rancher, a farmer, a scholar, an artist, a musician, or an athlete. That's cool. And the reason I keep saying he is because your child can only be a boy. Boy, 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 as I put in the show notes.
Yes, that is absolutely in the show notes.
Quote, boy, 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 you can only have a boy child. So I hope you enjoy having boy children. So that's kind of like your little farm family options. And then we kind of branch out into the town of Forget-Me-Not Valley. So we have Carter and Flora. They are archaeologists. They work on an archaeological dig in the valley. And this is like the ruins we were talking about in like the story of the game. So every chapter, the ruins get bigger and bigger as they presumably excavate more and more. I hate Carter. True story. He is an egregiously incompetent archaeologist. You go and you dig stuff up and you're like digging up statues and old coins and stuff. And he's like, this is useless. Keep it. And I hate him so much. As someone who really desperately wanted to be an archaeologist for most of their childhood, I hate this guy. You can't marry Flora, in case you were wondering. I made that mistake as a child. They live up by the ruins in tents, because why not? I'm sure that's how that works, even though there's an inn in town that they could live in. No, they live in tents. And then in the town itself, we have a couple of different families. So we have Chris and her husband, Wally, and their son, Hugh, who is a little kid when you first start the game. Chris is a business lady, Wally is a sports guy, and Hugh is a sports kid. In chapter 2, there's a new family that moves into town, Samantha and her husband Grant, and their daughter Kate, who is also a child when she first comes in and grows up to be an adult. They're like classic family, business husband, wife, child. Classic. You have the sort of, not really rival farm, but the one other farm in Forget-Me-Not Valley, which is very small and probably doesn't need two farms, but that's fine. Vesta and Marlin and Celia all live together. I think they're related somehow. I don't know exactly how. I think they're like cousins or something. I literally don't remember. But they all live together, with Celia being a female marriage candidate and Marlin being a male marriage candidate. And then up in the really fancy mansion for rich people live the rich people, who are an old lady named Romana and her butler Sebastian, and her granddaughter, I think, named Lumina, who is a marriage candidate in the special edition of this game. And the reason I feel strange about that is because she's clearly like a child when you start this game. She's a teenager for sure, at least at the most.
Yeah. The wiki says 14.
Yeah.
But probably important to note that it does say that in the special edition, the only one where she is a marriage candidate, she's 18.
I don't know if I feel better about that.
I'm not saying it's necessarily massively better, but I would say it turns it from illegal to yeah, like, doesn't make it not creepy, but you know.
Yeah, so I feel weird about that. And I will say, when your kid becomes a teenager and has a crush on someone in town, it is either Kate, the daughter of Samantha and Grant, or Lumina. So I feel very strange about the prospect of, in one game, you can marry the person that your child has a crush on.
I mean, it's especially fun seeing as that apparently the oldest marriage candidate in the normal version is 28. So you've got that 10-year age range.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
What a game.
2003. Only 16 years ago.
2003. Yeah. We've come so far. Then the family that runs the inn are Ruby and her husband, Tim, and their son, Rock. Ruby and Tim are very much like into cooking. Ruby is the character we were talking about earlier, who showed up in the comic for the new Friends of Mineraltown game. And we'll talk about why in a minute. But she's sweet. I like her. You have Griffin, who's like the cowboy-esque guy who runs the blue bar in town. You have Nina and Galen, who are an old couple who live in town, and Nina's the one who dies at the end of chapter one, and it's very upsetting. When she does die, Galen moves to his own little tiny house across town by Vesta's farm and lives by himself in sadness and occasionally visits the grave of his wife. Yeah, so that's great. This is a cheerful game. So we have Murray, who's the town town Linus. He's
you know the references that I understand. The town Linus.
Homeless person who begs for money because that's what homeless people do. Except that unlike Linus, who gets character development, Murray just walks around town, steals your food, and begs for money, which is exactly how homeless people work. This game is very realistic. That was sarcasm. I should be clear about that. I do not want confusion on that one. Then you have an interesting cast of weird characters who live kind of on the outskirts of the town because that's where weird people live. This game is very subtle. So you have Daryl, who is a mad scientist. Let's call him a mad scientist. That's exactly what he is. You have the twins, Casey and Patrick, who they make explosives on the edge of town. I'm sorry, they make fireworks on the edge of town. They make explosives. Don't know what they do for a living, but I'm sure it's 100% legal. Then you have Gustafa, your yurt hippie. You have Cody, who is like the silent artist type. You have Hardy, who is the doctor who comes in and out of town. And then you have Van, who is a traveling salesman. He comes to town on the 3rd and 8th of every month. This is like where you're going to buy like tools and shops and clothes and toys for your children from this guy. You can sell stuff to him if you want. He comes in and out of town. So we have the Harvest Sprites in this game. If you've played a Harvest Moon game before, you'll know the Harvest Sprites. They're cute little sprites that are most people can't see. They kind of help you around. There are three of them in this game, and their names are Nick, Knack, and Flack.
Great, great names.
Yep. They're Harvest Sprites. They're cheerful. They talk a lot. They live in a tree at the top of the town that you can go and visit them. If you have to eat a mushroom and then you shrink and definitely don't go on a trip and you go into their house and visit them in the tree.
I mean, yeah. Okay, cool. sometimes you say some things and I'm just like,
don't question it.
That's makes sense. Cool.
These games play very differently as a child than they do as an adult.
They certainly feel a lot more, drug induced than
yeah
than the more modern games, I think.
Yes. So here's the weird ones. Starting in chapter 2 or 3, sometimes when Van comes to visit, you can buy this giant teddy bear named Da-chan. Do you want to know about Da-chan?
I don't know. Do I?
Yes, you do, because okay. This game is 16 years old and we're spoiling everything.
Let's go for it.
So, Da-chan. You buy Da-chan, put him in your kid's room. Sometimes you'll get a cutscene.
Oh, no.
Where you'll see Da-chan moving.
Oh, no.
Getting up, walking around, its head turning. Your kid will talk about how Da-chan is alive and plays with him sometimes. Sometimes, if you stand in a room by yourself for a few game hours, Da-chan will get up and start looking around or watch you as you walk around the room. Da-chan's creepy.
I didn't think there would be anything that I would hate more in a farming game than finding out who Woofio was.
Surprise.
Oh.
This is a Woofio level of what?
This is worse because, like, you never assume that Woofio is just an inanimate object. You know?
Woofio may be a ghost in a dog costume. Da-chan is probably a ghost in a teddy bear.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it's real creepy. I'm sure you didn't expect this to be a horror game.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
And then there's Muku Muku, who only shows up in the winter, and he hangs out up by the forest sprites trees. There's like a tree where the sprites live, harvest sprite. Ugh, words. And there's like a little goddess pond right up there. And he hangs out up there. He's basically like a little Yeti.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, sometimes in the winter festival, when Gustav is playing his music, sometimes Muku Muku will come and watch with you. It's great. And then, I'm sure you love Da-chan. You're going to love even more Tartan, who is a two-headed plant, a two-headed talking plant, who you befriend and will create hybrid crop seeds for you. He lives in Takakura's house.
I mean, Tartan's not trying to pretend to just be a normal plant, though, right?
Have you seen a picture of Tartan?
Oh, no. What?
For the listeners.
I feel like they were like, oh, we need a plant. You, go draw a plant. 5 minutes later, here's a plant. Wow, that is, my goodness.
Tartan is I want you to imagine just a classic, terracotta pot, and sticking up out of it is like a plant, like a stem, and then some leaves branch out. This is normal. And then all of a sudden, it splits into two. And at the end of each branch is a big circle seed pod type thing with a Ditto-esque smiley face on it.
Yeah, it's so spherical, so smooth, and such a creepy smile.
Yeah, so Tartan is weird, but helps you create hybrid crops. So that's a thing.
Yeah, I think my point is that I don't find that idea creepier than, or as creepy than the, haunted teddy bear. Because Tartan's just Tartan is a talking plant, talking two-headed plant, but you know what you're getting from it, right? It's like, hey, I'm a talking two-headed plant. You're like, okay, cool. It's going to take a while to get my head around, but okay, cool. Let's just go with that. Whereas you're like, oh, great. Here's a teddy bear. Oh, wait. It's alive, maybe. my expectations is the issue there, right? when I was buying it, they were like, hey, it's haunted, I would go, great, keep it. The issue is not necessarily what it is, but my expectations.
Well, here's the thing. Tartan can be the weirdest character a lot of people run into because you can choose not to buy Da-chan.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
So a lot of people just won't and never see anything about Da-chan. Or you can go through a huge chunk of the game, and depending on your timing of going in and out of your house and stuff, even if you buy Da-chan, you can never see some of Da-chan's cutscenes and stuff. So for a lot of people, Tartan might be the weirdest part of the game. Right up there with Daryl and his weird, creepy science lab where you keep giving him fish to do things with. Daryl will also sometimes just come and wander around your farm and stare at your livestock. It's very creepy. There's some creepy stuff in this game. So those are your characters. So our last category is mechanics. Let's cover the mechanics real quick.
The most important part of farming games, obviously.
Yes.
Who cares about this story nonsense?
Yeah, who cares about story and characters and all that stuff that Rochelle likes more than anything else? So for farming in particular, there are a few factors that go into this as far as mechanics go. On your farm, you have three different fields. Each field is of a differing quality. So you kind of have an okay, a good, and a super best field. Some crops will only grow in certain soil qualities, and some will grow in all of them. You can grow essentially two categories of crops. First of all, you have just regular crops, which in this game, you can grow tomatoes, watermelons, melons, strawberries, turnips, potatoes, carrots, and sweet potatoes. Most of these, because the seasons are so short, you can actually grow in multiple seasons. So you can grow them in spring through fall or summer through fall, etc. The only exception is sweet potatoes, which you can only grow in fall, and they just function like regular crops. In this game, you do have to water twice a day. And then you have tree crops, which they take an entire year to grow.
A whole year in this game.
So long. So forever. But once they do, they produce fruit continuously throughout the month that they fruit in. It sounded awkward, but that's technically correct.
that is correct. Yeah.
And you can grow peaches, oranges, grapes, bananas, and apples. My favorite, the grape tree. And then, as we mentioned with Tartan, you can actually make hybrid crops in this game. You can only breed crops with crops and trees with trees. You can't breed trees and regular crops together.
You mean I can't get a watermelon tree?
Nope. Sorry, man.
Disappointed.
But you can breed 28 different hybrid crops in this game and 10 hybrid trees by just putting random crops together. And then you can also, if you make a random crop and also add in a flower that you get from foraging, you can like give your seeds particular characteristics. So like if you breed a hybrid crop with a happy lamp, which is one of the types of flowers, it will grow in all season, just throughout the whole year. Gem soil will allow it to grow in any of the fields, regardless of quality. And an upseed will automatically make your seeds S rank, which is the highest rank of seed. So your crops in this game, like a lot of other games, have quality ratings. I think the lowest quality is like C, which you can upgrade to B, A, and then S rank being the highest. Normally you would do that with fertilizer, or you can breed seeds together with an upseed to get an S rank. Each of those flowers you get from foraging just out in the wild and only show up for one season each year. So they're not as plentiful as you'd think. You do kind of have to be picky and careful with them.
Ah, picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're picking them.
Thank you for appreciating my crappy pun.
Jokes.
They're funny when you explain them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have animals. There's kind of two categories of animals. You can get a dog, which you just get automatically at the very beginning of the game. You get to choose between a floppy ear dog and a pointy ear dog. You can only have one. And the other one gets taken to the city. We're not going to question that. And then if you befriend the old lady Romana, who lives in the mansion because she's a rich person, she'll give you a cat, which makes sense because if you go to her house, it's covered in cats. So
covered in cats.
She just pawns one off on you. And your pets do have like a sort of like little training mini game. So like you train them, you do things like make them do little tricks and stuff, and you can train them. For what? Don't ask. But it's like a fun little weird mini game you can do if you really want to. There are 6 types of livestock you can keep in your barn. You have cows and sheep and goats, of course. And then you have chicken and ducks. And then a horse. You only get one horse and you can ride it around, but it lives in your barn and takes up a space in your barn. You have a limited amount of space. I think you can have like 6 or 8 livestock and 6 or 8 birds at the same time. With the cows, sheep, and goat in particular, more like the cows and goats in particular, because sheep you shear for wool, but the cows and goats you use for milk, and you actually end up having to breed them and have babies for them to actually produce milk, which is an interesting addition.
Yeah, I mean, it's more realistic.
Yeah, it's more realistic. But yeah, if you have a cow, eventually your cow will stop giving you milk, and you're like, well, it's time for you to have a baby, and you force your cow to have another little cow, and then your cow will produce milk for another year. So that's fun. There's a whole bunch of cooking in this game. I assume everyone knows how a cooking mechanic works. You have a kitchen, you put ingredients together, you cook. There's also fishing, of course. There's sort of 4 places where you can go fishing in this game. There's a river through Forget-Me-Not Valley that's split into upstream and downstream. And then there's like a swamp and the tiny little goddess pond by Knick-Knack and Flax Tree. There are little animal friends that kind of hang out around the town. And the reason I bring this up is because the rumor when this game was popular and new was that you could befriend them and adopt them to be your pets on the farm. You cannot. Do not try. Leave them alone. What they're there to do is to indicate this particular fishing spot will give you high quality and rare fish today. So like if there's an owl by the pond, then you should probably go fishing in the pond and get some fancy fish. There's a lizard for the upstream and raccoon for the downstream and a turtle by the swamp. There's also a chihuahua by the archaeological dig site. You cannot adopt the chihuahua no matter what you do, contrary to the rumors.
Oh no, is this the Mew under the truck of...
This is 100% the Mew under the truck of this game. But the chihuahua just indicates that there's rare and valuable things in the dig site that day. Speaking of the dig site, you can go once a day, every day, until 5 p.m. and go dig stuff up in the dig site. For the most part, you get items that, for some reason, Carter, the inept and archaeologist, think are not valuable, that you can just take, you can sell them, you can give them as gifts to people, etc. There is sort of a quest where you're trying to look for these stone tablets, which are the only thing that Carter gets excited about because he's a horrible archaeologist. I don't know if you can tell how bitter I am about this. And the thing is that there are six of these tablets, and most of them you can only get in a single chapter of the game. So the sea tablet, if you don't get it in year one, you'll never get it ever, and you can never complete the collection. No pressure. And there is kind of a hack where if it's a rainy day and you don't want it to be raining, if you go into the dig site and dig for a bit and then come out, it won't be raining anymore, because that's how archaeology works.
Obviously.
Yeah. As mentioned before, there's kind of like foraging. So like there's stuff that just spawns on the map that you can go pick up and eat or sell or whatever. There's fun things to do with your kid. You can buy your kid particular toys or do particular activities with your kid. Or if you become friends with certain people in town, all of those things will influence your child's future career, I think, as we mentioned before.
Yeah.
So that's a fun mechanic in that you, as is realistic to real life, everything that a parent does ends up creating the inevitable future of their child, because children have no agency like real life. Are there any particular mechanics we sort of missed? Of course, there's the classic friendship. You become friends with people. You can see cutscenes with them and stuff like that. There's like heart scenes for the marriage candidates. Classic Harvest Moon fare. Right. So this game, if you had the cord that allows you to connect a Game Boy Advance to your GameCube, because this is a GameCube game, you could actually hook this up to the Game Boy Advance game, Friends of Mineral Town.
What?
Which may sound familiar because it's the one they're remaking. So if you connect A Wonderful Life to Friends of Mineral Town, or alternatively, if you connect Another Wonderful Life to more Friends of Mineral Town, because you have to put the girl game with a girl game and the boy game with the boy game.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You get bonuses in each game. So you will in each game occasionally see NPCs from the other game hanging out around your town. But most importantly, you have Ruby and Van. So the way this works is once you connect them, let's start with Ruby. Ruby on Sundays will visit the inn in Friends of Mineral Town. And you can, in that game, you can talk to her. She'll sell you a recipe. And then if you, after you do that, because you have to do that first, and then you hook it back up to your GameCube, and then in the GameCube game, A Wonderful Life, Ruby will then sell you that same recipe. So you have to do it in Friends of Mineral Town first, link it up, sync it up, and then do it in A Wonderful Life. Did that make any sense whatsoever?
I think it did.
Cool. So that's how you get a bunch of special recipes from Ruby by connecting the two games. And then Van, the traveling salesman, does exactly that same thing, but on Mondays, except that he sells records. So you can get a record player and play different music on your farm. And he sells special records when you do that. And then, of course, we have, as mentioned earlier, the sort of variants of this game, which we've touched on a little bit. So the main game is Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life. Then there's the variant, which was made for the PlayStation 2. And then I think it was 2017 or something. It got remade for PlayStation 4, right?
Yes. Well, I don't think it's a remake. I think it's a port.
Probably. I think it's a port. And they, if I remember correctly, when they made the special edition for PlayStation, it ended up having like a lot of issues with like frame rate and lagging and glitching. And I think that they fixed that for the PlayStation 4 version. But other than that, it's just a straight port. So the special edition version, only on PlayStation, each chapter is only 1 year long. So you only play for 6 years. But at the end of chapter 6, there's a new chapter, chapter 7, which is called Farming Heaven. And essentially, you die and go to heaven and do the same thing for as long as you want for forever, which is fun. Apparently, you can pick which chapter you play in. You get your child, you get your wife, you just, heaven seems a lot like whatever chapter you choose to play in. As mentioned earlier, this is the version of the game where you can marry Lumina, which I still don't feel good about. Your clothing just automatically changes color every season. Why? Why not? You can randomly get different colored horses. Why? Why not? And my absolute favorite part of this, in this version of the game only, your child can be a girl, but you have to go through a lot of effort to get that. I mean, it's not necessarily a lot of effort, but you have to go out of your way. So you have to eat the mushroom and go into the little house of Knick, Knack, and Flack. And there's like a decoration that's just a pot that sits against the wall. And you have to like interact with it like 100 times or something like that. And then at the end, it's like, okay, fine. I'm the spirit of this pot. Leave me alone and I'll grant you a wish. And you can choose the gender of your child because that's how children work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really weird. Like, they could have just, like, randomly assigned gender to the character. Or, like, in a lot of Harvest Moon games, when you have a kid, you'll be asked, like, do you hope it's a boy or a girl? And you can answer a boy and get a boy, or a girl and get a girl. Or sometimes just, like, I don't care, and it'll just be random. Not in this game. You either have a son, or you go out of your way and talk to a pot while you're on mushrooms and get a daughter. It's very strange.
I mean, like, it's strange, but it's also, you know, we're talking about when they still had a separate game, you know, to play as a woman in the first place, right? So, like, it's all weird.
Yeah, it's all weird.
Hey, they've improved a lot. The, you know, new Friends of Mineral Town game, presumably isn't splitting up the genders in the game, so.
So... speaking of which, we have the girl version, Another Wonderful Life. This also has only 6 years, where each chapter is 1 year, except that at the end, there's no farming heaven. It just ends in 6 years. Speaking of ending, you have to get married at the end of year one, which is the same as the other game. But in this one, if you don't propose to somebody, just whichever marriage candidate has the highest affection for you at the end of the year will propose to you. If you don't marry them, the game ends, because you can't be a farmer and a woman if you don't have a husband. And apparently, if you're not great to your spouse, you can end up divorced and the game ends, because you can't be a farmer and a woman and not have a husband. I wish you could see my face right now. It's like walking into the Twilight Zone. Like, what?
I wish you could see my face right now. It's just in the, you know, the emoji, the grimace emoji. It's just that.
It's so strange. Yeah. Like, you also are forced to marry somebody in A Wonderful Life, the regular, the boy version, but you don't get punished. You only get punished if you play as a woman. I don't understand. It's very strange. Also, since you're a woman and, what's more important to a woman than your appearance? There's a mirror in your house, and if you talk to it, it'll make commentary. You'll make commentary about it. You'll talk to yourself in the mirror. Depending on how much energy you have, you'll either be kind to yourself or very unkind to yourself. It's pretty ruthless. But the more that you talk to yourself in the mirror, the more clothes unlock in Van's shop.
Wow.
And you can change your clothes. Because women be shopping.
My word.
This game is so strange. But to make up for it, there's actually like a glitch cheat you can play in Another Wonderful Life. If you physically take your controller out of slot 1 of the GameCube and you put it into slot 3, if you every time you hit start, it'll give you 10,000 gold. And then if you hit the Z bumper, it'll just randomly give you an entire backpack full of items. And your backpack is like, you have like 30 items on a page and there's like 8 pages of your backpack. It's a lot. So like you'll just randomly spawn like food or tools or archaeological dig items or recipes. And just like it's actually very frustrating because there's some things you can't just like sell or toss or get rid of. And so it's very stressful to get rid of them and they just take up space in your backpack. But you can do that only in this version of the game. So
the games are weird. All right.
Games are weird. This is a classic game, and it shows. It's got some real strange stuff.
It's also in that, I think one of the things that I found really funny in the tutorial was it was in that really awkward early 2000s trying to do amazing graphics time period, mm-hmm. where, you know, it was that time where Game Boy games were still kind of simple 2D graphics, but you know, with the home consoles that were trying to get too clever, and it just looks creepy.
Yes.
It's just weird character models.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like, you know, like really low down camera angles, and you're just like, no, it's just, this just doesn't work for me, right? It's just, mm-hmm. just weird.
Yeah, so like, it first of all definitely shows its age. It's very strange. This is the 10th Harvest Moon title, but of course we know that Harvest Moon's been around a long time. It's been around since the SNES days, I'm pretty sure. The original Harvest Moon game was on the SNES, SNES, Super Famicom, SNES. But it is the first game that they had on GameCube. So did they have any other games on GameCube? Yeah, they did. Never mind. What am I talking about?
You're having a nice argument with yourself like, there.
Yeah, I'm like, duh, they had Magical Melody. Like, that is considered to be one of the best of the Harvest Moon games. God. Duh.
Come on, Rochelle, get with it. We all know that.
Ugh. So yeah, it's an older game. It's one of the earlier games. There's been a billion since then where they've improved a lot. I do really enjoy like the time passing mechanic and actually watching the characters change and watching them, like watching the kids grow up or the adults become old or like die and move out of town, you know, like,
yeah,
I really do enjoy that aspect of it, and I wish more games would kind of do that.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see a modern interpretation of this type of way of doing a farming game, because obviously it's a really interesting and unique way of doing things. And you know, you like, even when time is passing in the other games, you never see kind of much progression,
mm-hmm.
unless you're doing heart events and stuff like that.
Yeah, because usually what it is that the only progression you see is getting to know the characters.
Exactly.
Like, but that feels more like becoming friends with somebody than it does the actual passage of time.
Yeah. You see some things, in, like, for example, what's her name in Stardew? The bus driver one. What's her name?
Pam?
Yeah, you see a bit of progression with her, but because she becomes less less sad with the entirety of life when she gets her job back and stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
You still don't see any real aging or anything like that, which is an interesting way of doing things. And it's a shame that the one example of this really interesting mechanic is on a 16-year-old game on the GameCube. And sure, you can buy the PS4 version, but... You know,
yeah,
still has a lot of issues, even if you do that, mm-hmm. you know.
But yeah, this is the kind of game where I would not mind if it got like a really heavily worked on remake, if that makes sense. Like if they went in and really, really cleaned it up, but like took the basic premise of it, I think that would be really neat. Or if they just made a new game with the same basic time passing premise, that would also be really neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would have, you know... just now would almost seem like the perfect time to be working on a remake of this game,
mm-hmm.
when they're doing the Friends of Mineral Town, and obviously there's some overlap there, but that's definitely not the only way they could do it.
Yeah, but they could very easily, like, so like you saw in the Friends of Mineral Town comic, you saw Ruby, who is a character from this game in particular. She's a Forget-Me-Not Valley character who, if you connected the two games, would travel to Mineral Town and sell you things. And like, if they have that in there, like they could very easily make a remake of this game. And if you have both games installed on your Switch, then...
100%. They've done that with other games on the Switch. You can 100% do that and have the way of being able to know that you've got another game installed and you have a save in that and be able to transfer that stuff across. So that could absolutely work if they decided to do that.
Yeah.
And they've obviously shown, you know, as a company that they are, you know, moving with the times and improving and realizing that some of the things that they've done in the past would not fly now.
Yeah.
You know, I think the idea of them doing a game, you know, for men and a game for playing as women, you know,
is dumb.
Definitely wouldn't fly nowadays. And you know, we know that because they fixed that with Friends of Mineral Town, right? So, and I think the thing is though that actually it would probably be a bit harsh to kind of say that that's them fixing a problem, because although that is a problem and that is something that needed to be fixed, they did have. You know, this was, what, 2003? You know, there were plenty of games that had no idea of this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the sort of... It was maybe... When was Pokemon Crystal came out? Probably about the same time, wasn't it? So this idea of being able to play as multiple different... You know, having this idea of character customization was kind of a thing, but it was not as widespread as it is now. And so although you had to buy a different game to do it, it at least did exist. Yeah.
This was just a couple of years after Pokemon Crystal.
So, you know, it's obviously it needed some improvement, but it would probably be unfair to entirely dismiss it because they could have just had the one game.
Yeah, very much could have. And like most Harvest Moon games up to this point, you were just a guy and that was not questioned. And that's just what you did. So like it's one of those things where it's like it was a really revolutionary thing for its time. And we've just continued to move and progress as a society. And so now it seems dumb. But at the time, it was like really exciting. Like it was very exciting to find out there was a girl version of this game. Like the same as it was very exciting to play Pokemon Crystal and play as a girl for the first time, even though all of the stupid boys in my neighborhood said that Pokemon was only for boys. So like, definitely we shouldn't underwrite like the progress it made in its time. But also, I have no rose-colored glasses looking back at this. Like, it was one of my favorite games ever. It introduced me to the genre. But playing back as an adult, I'm like, oh boy, this is not as... It aged very, very deeply. And it's very much a marker of its time. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think I've said before, like, I really enjoy when I go back to games and I feel like, oh man, this really aged bad. Because it means that we've progressed and done better. And that kind of like gives me hope for the future of the genre. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that's Harvest Moon, /another wonderful life, /SE.
Thank you for taking us on this journey, Rochelle.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to me talk about my introduction to this genre game.
It is certainly something. If nothing else, if you're not going to play this game, listeners, at the very least, go look up some screenshots of the amazing graphics.
Yes, 100%. Go look up in the show notes. We should link to some random screenshots in this game.
Yeah, I've already got a few on my list.
Perfect.
Well, there will be some stuff in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Go look at them.
Go buy yourself a Da-chan and tell us about it.
Sleep with the light on.
Sleep with the light on. If you buy Da-chan, you can email us and tell us all about your experience.
At harvestseason.club.
Yep, that one. Or you can tweet at us on Twitter at THSpod. Al, where can they talk to you if they want to, let's say somebody wants to ask you about your Zombies Run experiences. Where can they do that?
You can tweet at me at TheScottBot, 1T in Scott.
If you want to ask me about my Zombies Run experiences, please, you can tweet at me at Miss Delaney with 2 L's in Delaney. And I guess until next time,
have a good harvest.
Woo!
The Harvest Season is created by Rochelle Delaney and Al McKinley. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, harvestseason.club, for show notes, including links to things we discussed, and transcripts for every episode. Thanks for listening.
What did I just throw? I don't know. I don't even have anything to throw, and I threw something, and I don't know what it is. Oh, okay, whatever. I'll figure it out later.